Gabriella.
Hasn't come on yet.
Oh, okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm good to meet.
Okay. We will begin the count. Step one is the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud, Uchabarichu, Yishkinte, Dibchilu, Urchimu, Urchimu, Uchilu, Vyakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Hine Anachnu, Bayem, Lekayem, Mitzvat, Sefirata, Omer. Lasot nachat ruach v'otzreinu v'lasot ratzon boreinu. V'ahino amadunai Eloheinu eleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanane eleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanane. We will now connect with step two, which is the verses that help adjust and realign our consciousness for the counting. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Igmor Biadi Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Azdeha Leolam Maase Adiha El Tereh. Echra le'Elohim el'yon la'el gomer alai. V'yagor alai v'yarech mitvoseset v'damayich v'yomar lecha v'damayich haye v'yamar lecha v'damayich haye. Barki nafshi et Adonai, Yohe wahe adanu yo, Yohe da wanu heyo. Elohim Elohe gedalta meot, Hod v'hadar levashta. O teor, kishalma no te shemaim. Step three is the blessing. Baruch Ata Aleph Tata to the Hay of Malchut. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Yud He Wave. Eloheinu melech haolam asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sefirat haomer. Hayom echad v'arba'ayim yom laomer. Shehem chamisha shavuot v'shisha yamim. Today is day 41 of the Omer, which is 5 weeks and 6 days. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash. Lim koma bim hera bi Amenu. And we all say Amen. The number 41 is the gematria of the Hebrew word for mother, Im, Aleph Mem. What does motherhood represent? What aspect of our character traits do we need to change so that we would manifest, that we would be more like our mothers, the positive aspects of our mothers? And what aspects would we want to change to make, to remove those negative aspects of our mothers? Step six is the menorah psalm, Psalm 67. We'll stop at a letter and we'll stop at a word. Lamnatseach bin ginot mizmor shir. Eloheinu. Yechanenu Elohim Vivarkenu Yair Panav Itanu Selah. La Da'at Ba'aretz Darkecha V'Kol Goyim Yeshuatecha. Yoducha Mim Elohim, Yoducha Mim Kulam. Yismechu v'raninu ki tishpot amim mishor ulumim ba'aretz tanhem selah. The letter Samach is the 41st letter in this verse. The letter Samach connects to the energy of support. What do we have to change about ourselves that blocks our supporting other people? What do we have to change about ourselves so that we'll be more open to receive the support of other people? Selah. Yoducha and Amim Elohim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. The 41st word is the word Kulam. Kulam translates as all of them. What do we have to change about our attributes, our midot, our character traits, that includes all of them? Nishmatna Yevulaya Varkenu Elohim Eloheinu Yevarkenu Elohim Beiru Voto Kol Asei Aretz Step 7 is the Anabekoach. Anabekoach Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Zerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kafshin Barhem Taharim Rachamesit Katha Tamid Gamle Betet Reish Saditav Gimel Tassin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatecha Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zochre Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmat Yakatenu Yodea The letter Yud of the word Yodea. The letter Yud is an action letter. It changes a noun to a verb. It represents a verb, the action words. The letter Yud is the smallest letter in the alphabet. What do we have to do to change ourselves to be smaller? Not to be less bright, not to be less than we are, but to be smaller in how we perceive ourselves and recognize that others are more important. Ta'alumot Shinkufav Tzadiyuta. In the eighth verse of, we say in a whisper, the 41st verse, the 41st journey was having left Alman Ivaltahema and camping in the Avarim Mountains in front of Nebo. Now that we've arrived at Avarim Mountains, which Moses climbs to see the Promised Land before he prepares to die, and he gathered up to you, your people, this is the final journey in all our lives, actually the next to final one, the transition from life to death. Death obviously is terrible. It symbolizes an end. A disconnection. We associate it with a finality and a permanence. We no longer can see and touch, speak and laugh with our loved ones, whose souls have departed this plane. Even with deep faith in the soul's immortality and continued eternal journey, death is absolutely devastating. Even if the soul can see us, we cannot see it. Yet, the journey does go on. As sad as Moses' death was, symbolizing that the world remains in concealment, the modern range is called Abarim. The mountain range is called Abarim, which means passing through or opposite of. Some say they were called Abarim because they were opposite the crossing point to Jericho. Others explain that its peak, or from its peak, one could see the burial places of Aaron and Miriam. Bakia. Death is also a journey, a passage to another place. Though Moses went up the mountain and did not enter the promised land, his legacy remained eternal, and the next generation, trained and inspired by Moses, did indeed enter the land, led by Joshua. And here we are today, still telling this story, remembering and reliving Moses' life and his teachings. Here, too, we have the paradox of death coupled with knowing that this is a passageway, an Abarim. And the journey continues, together with the sadness of Moses' farewell. We are told that he climbs the Abarim Mountains to look at the Promised Land. A gaze of a holy man that actually affected and helped refine the land. And that Moses' final passage was on Nebo, which consists of two words, Nun and Bo. Nebo refers to the 50th gate of wisdom that Moses attained as he climbed the mountain. So the journey to the Abarim Mountains in front of Nebo teaches us about our own transitions, especially considering like everyone has a small Moses within, and the challenge we have to balance the antithetical feelings that death evokes about the demise of one stage, leading and birthing another. Step 9, we count the Omer. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirat ha'omer, kedei letacharenu miklipotenu umtumatenu, kemo shekatavta betorata huspartem lachem mimacharat ha'shabbat, miyom haviyachem et omer, Atenufa sheva shabbatot mi mot tina. Mimacharad ha-shabbat ha-shevit tesiferu. Kamishim yom kedei sheyitacharu. Nafshot amcha Yisrael mezohamatam. Uvechein yehiratzon milfanecha. Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Elohe Avotenu Shebizchut Sefirat Omer Kesafarti Hayom Yetukan Ma Shevagamti Sefira Yesod Shebe Yesod. What is the foundation of the foundation? What is the secret of action? What is the secret action of the foundation? V'yet kaher v'yet kadesh b'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 26th day of Iyar. Rabbi Sadia ben Yosef Gaon, a very famous Mekubal. Rabbi Aaron LaPapa. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, known as the Ramchal, a very famous author in this of our generation. He was before our generation. But many people study his Path of the Just. Many people utilize his steps of struggling to become righteous. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chaim of Volozhin, Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu of Zivil, Rabbi Shlomo Goldman, Ziviler Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Epstein, the prophet associated with the 41st day of the Omer. The Sod Shabbi Sod is Baruch ben Neriah. The translation, Baruch is blessing, the son of Neriah, God's candle. The 41st method to acquire Torah, as taught in the Perkei Avot in chapter 6, is by thinking deliberately in your learning. The story is told that once Rav Chaim Volozhin, after extolling the greatness of his brother, Rav Zemle Volozhin, who was a Talmid of the Vilna Gaon, was asked what is the difference between the Torah knowledge of his great Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, and that of his brother. He said, "We all know Ashrei by heart, Ashrei Yoshrei Beitecha. But can we say it backwards? Do you know the word before the pasuk that starts Tov Hashem? This would need to be figured out by starting from the pasuk before until you reach the last word." Not so with the Vilna Gaon. He saw the whole of the prayers before his eyes and could tell you anything. It was like reading from an open book that is in one's mind. It is not enough to go through the prayer book or even to learn it. It must be in your bloodstream and your bones. All concepts in the Gemara are unfamiliar to us, even after learning them. They need to become second nature. You need to learn it until you know it inside out. In order to gain a grasp of one's learning, one must understand the rationale that hides behind the simple meaning of what we are learning. The Amora Shmuel said, Nehirim li shevilin de shemea, shevili de daharadaya. The pathways of the sky are clear to me, like the streets of my hometown. That is how familiar we must become with the avenues and the alleyways of the prayers. How is this done? Borrowing an idea that the Katzke Rebbe said about Yirat Shemayim, we can see this in the Pasuk, in V'hayayim Shemoa. It says, V'samtem et divrarei ele al vavchem. It doesn't say to put Torah in your heart, rather to place it on your heart. Our hearts are hardened and closed to us from all the abuse. What we can do is take Torah that we have learnt and put it on our hearts. Then one day when our heart opens, however momentarily, it will all fall right in. We need to keep a learning and reviewing. Then suddenly one day, in a Sha'at HaKosher, the gates will open up and you will deeply absorb all the Torah you have toiled to know for years. There are 49 letters in the Shema Yisrael and the Baruch Shem. The 41st letter is a Vav in Malchuto. The Vav represents their Amkin. The Vav represents the energy of male, of sharing. In what ways are you blocking your sharing? In what ways are you blocking your receiving of that sharing from others? Our class tonight comes from the writings of the Ari page. It's actually an essay from Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman's commentary on the Torah. Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman is a Kabbalist. He's known as Nachmanides. And he comments frequently on Maimonides. Maimonides comes across as a rational human being, a logical approach. Nachmanides comes from the frame of Kabbalah and the mystical aspects. You will find the handout on the row 14 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. When the Ari landing page opens up, scroll down to Parashah Bamidbar. And the class tonight will be the link from Standards of Celestial Conduct. And we will start with a L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabrishu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Bidkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kanenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanenehu. Standards of celestial conduct. If we learn the celestial conduct, then we will be able to bring Hashem closer. Moses arranged the tribes according to the pattern of the celestial worlds. Every man shall encamp by his own standard with the sign of their father's house. Each standard was to have a colored cloth hanging in it, the color of one being unlike the color of another. The color of each standard corresponded to that of the stone fixed in the breastplate of the high priest, on which the name of that scribe was engraved. The name of that tribe was engraved. And by this method, everyone would recognize his standard. On Reuben's standard, there was a figure of a man decorated with mandrakes. But Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra commented, there were signs on each of the four main standards. Thus the ancient sages said that on Reuben's standard, there was a figure of a man decorated with mandrakes. And on Judah's standard, there was the form of a lion, to which Jacob had compared him. And on Ephraim's standard was the figure of an ox, based upon the expression that Moses used in speaking of that tribe, the firstborn of his ox. And on Dan's standard was the figure of an eagle. Thus, the four signs are the four main standards, and they were similar to the four figures that the prophet Ezekiel saw in the divine chariot. The tent of meeting was in the exact center, with the camps of the Levites surrounding it. In the midst of the camps of the other tribes, as is mentioned in Sefer Yetzirah, and the holy temple is placed exactly in the middle. I have furthermore seen in the Midrash the following text. And just as the Holy One, blessed be He, created four directions in the universe, so He surrounded His throne with four living creatures. And high above them all is the throne of glory. The Holy One, blessed be He, told Moses to arrange the standards in a manner corresponding to these directions. There in Midbar Rabbah, the rabbis also interpret the division of the tribes of Israel according to the four standards, as corresponding to the four groups of angels surrounding the celestial throne. The Midrash also explains there that the division of the tribes was not arbitrary, but it was all in wisdom, showing honor and greatness to Israel, and that therefore Scripture mentions everything in detail. That's the end of the essay. And we will continue reading the next essay called, titled Complex Numbers. But this is from the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, a book written by Rabbi Isaiah Horowitz. We've met him in some of our earlier classes. Complex numbers, the pluses and minuses of counting. As a rule, nothing counted or measured attracts blessing. This rule applies, however, only when the numbering or measurement is intrinsically physical, meaning part of this material world. Such numbers do not bode well, since by their very definition they stress individuality and separateness, each item being counted separately. A number also suggests limitation. And even if we say the number of the children of Israel will be as the sands of the beaches of the sea, which is an apparent blessing, the presumption still is that ultimately this is a limitation, since the number is finite. In the world that is coming, numbering does not entail limitation or finitude. However, in the context of the spiritual world, a number does not imply limitation. On the contrary, once something is numbered, it will have an infinite existence, usually as an ascending level. An object that is numbered advances towards ever greater achievements. This is why the prophet predicts of the Jewish people, the number of the people of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, that can neither be measured nor counted. We understand this verse as pointing out the difference between numbering something in this world and that of some numbering something in the world that is coming. In the world that is coming, numbering does not entail finitude or limitation due to separation. This is true even though the enumeration does take place, as is evident from the words cannot be counted, which suggests that somebody is indeed attempting to count. The message, though, is that the count cannot be completed. It cannot be finalized. This is also what the rabbis may have meant when they said that the Hebrew word to count, mispar, refers to a time when Israel performs the will of Hashem. While cannot be counted, in Hebrew is lo yisofer, refers to a time when Israel fails to do so. When Israel does not perform the will of God, their cleaving to this physical material world is the reason. When they do perform the will of their Maker, however, even their enumeration does not constitute something finite, something that imposes limitations on their development, that it is not something negative. On the contrary, the counting is very beneficial. When the Jewish people cannot be counted because they are like the grains of sand on the beach, I'm paraphrasing. What you have to realize, and it's an amazing realization, the grains of sand are limited, but they grow. Each grain of sand can break down into a multiple level of grains of sand. And this is why the Jewish people will constantly grow. That was an unwritten commentary. And the third essay for tonight was coming from a Sefer Torat Moshe by Rabbi Moshe Alshich of Tzvat. Numbering Angels and Armies. Kabbalah teaches that angelic armies are summoned to wage Israel's wars. Count them according to their armies. I am adding, the Hebrew word being translated as armies is usually translated as hosts. The connotation of hosts, in my opinion, is a battalion of angels, available to be messengers and to follow the orders of Hashem. These hosts can be armies, yet they can be choirs singing praises as well. If Israel were to become the carrier of God's throne, or the chariot, the Merkava, what would happen to the angels who had performed this function up until now? And who would be deprived of their former status? This is especially problematic, since Israel assumed this role for the next 40 years, not just for a brief interlude. Hashem certainly did not suddenly despise the angels. Rather, the angels assumed a subordinate role, similar to the one they had played during the Exodus, when by serving as the means of transport for Israel, they had in fact been the armies of the Jewish people. He who can ride angels is in the advantageous position. Israel now resumed the lofty position it had held at the time of the Exodus. The Shekhinah spreads from the children of Israel to the angels. At this point, however, the angels no longer carried the Israelites on their wings, since the Shekhinah could be seen in the tabernacle. In spite of this, the Shekhinah manifested itself primarily within the children of Israel, who are considered part of Hashem himself. The Shekhinah spreads from the children of Israel to the angels, who correspond to them in numbers. When the Torah says, count them according to their hosts, the meaning is, you will enumerate them on account of the angels who were their armies. Just as kings have armies, so too does Israel have armies, which are the angels. There are two kinds of armies. One army serves as an instrument of warfare. The other serves as the base for the Shekhinah. The fact that Hashem wanted only those over 20 years old to be counted does not mean that his presence cannot rest on younger people if they are worthy. Nonetheless, since in earthly kingdoms 20 is the age at which soldiers are recruited, so the heavenly army patterns itself on the same system. A corresponding number of angels will serve as their army. There's one vital difference, however. The heavenly army Israel, though mobilized, will not actually fight. On the contrary, the angels who had so far been the transporters of the throne of God will henceforth be the army fighting on behalf of Israel, who had now themselves become the bearers of God's throne. This is the meaning of the words, you will count them according to their armies. When you will count the Israelites, the corresponding number of angels will serve as their army. All this was meant to last for the duration of the people's wanderings in the desert. The words their army is now understandable, since the angels already had served Israel in that capacity. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow we will have three classes. A Jewish history class, a deep Zohar class, and our normal questions and answers period. I remind you, Rosh Chodesh is this coming Motzi Shabbat. I hope you'll join us. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom is coming. Shalom.